Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts, Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals, Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome to One Shots, a Dumb Dumbs and Dice podcast where professional voiceover actors and improvisers tackle one-shot stories created in a variety of hit RPGs. I'm your host, DJ One Shot, and I'm here to welcome you to Pick Me, a Trophy Dark Incursion. This special holiday arc features our GM, Tom McGee, players Ryan LaPlante, Tyler Hewitt, and Laura Elizabeth, along with special guests Guy Bradford and Claire Blackwood. What happens when the Dumb Dumbs become toys competing to be a child's favorite on Christmas? Nobody knows, because it's One Shot! Pick Me Edition.
It's all come down to this, ish. Tomorrow is Christmas Day. Tonight is Christmas Eve. The man in red has dragged you down through a chimney. You have alliances, you have promises to each other. Abraham Lincoln is presumably fucking a reindeer somewhere nearby. For the three of you, you're in Santa's clutches as he does his like sneaky, the Grinch stealing Christmas, but if it wasn't the Grinch sequence. What do the three of you say to each other as you get dragged down the chimney? You have a rare moment to plot. Again, tomorrow you will be in direct competition, but tonight you are still an alliance.
Tom, is this ring four or ring five? Because I imagine that'll affect our brains.
This is beneath the tree. We are on the penultimate arc. Okay. You will have terrors and temptations in the house on Christmas Eve. Claire has tasked Laura with a quest. Laura has something she's going to attempt to do. Tafty also has been tasked by the Queen of the Sugar Plum Fairies with something. They both have missions. You've lost your allies and are in a bit of a rough spot. So this is ring four. The only thing left is tomorrow morning, Christmas Day. Soon you will meet the child. What do you do?
I will, I'll mention to my two companions, I'll say, friends, I have come into contact with a few colorful characters, some of which have asked me for favors in exchange for boons. I would share these boons with you if you accompany me on my tasks. What say you?
What are the tasks? And what are the boons?
Well, we must...
Those are my questions.
We must infiltrate the garden of the Sugar Plum Fairy and steal the golden pipes of Titana. We need not keep them or anything like that. It is merely some sort of game between Sugar Plum Fairies to spoil the other's evening.
I just kind of like side eye at Morky and be like, the fuck?
Okay, what do we get?
I have been promised a hard candy outer shell. You see, I'm quite pliable in my current form, and I would offer to use this new ability of mine to protect you or serve you in other ways. In a sense, my boon would become your boon through my service.
This is kind of a weird question, because I don't actually know that much about you, Taft, but this seems a little bit self-sacrificing. You're going to take a cool thing and then use it for me. What's in it for you?
Well, you can help me accomplish this task, and then I, as I understand it, I'll have that power heretofore going on, so I'll be able to use it for me, for you. In that sense, it's not a one-off. I was given a one-off already, and I've since used it up.
Okay. Well, then, if we do this, do you have to steal the thing, or could we steal the thing, or what happens if somebody else takes it?
It's my understanding that the agreement with the fairy was that I steal it, but your support in any way you can provide it would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, well, fuck it. I don't have anything else to do.
I'll go along if you help me with my task.
Wait, you got a task too?
Yeah.
How the fuck do I get a task? I don't have any goddamn boons.
The man red people. Suddenly stops. Right above the flickering flame of the fireplace, he goes full Sam Fisher and just throws out his arms and legs.
And where are we on his person if he's starfishing?
In the fist he just slammed into the side of the chimney. And you just hear him go, "Mother fucking HBO." And outside, you can hear the theme from The Wire playing. And it would seem that the parents of this household are still awake, watching The Wire. The man in red is suspended there, and you hear him just muttering, "Shit, they never understand delays. Fuck." You're all crushed against a wall, tasting soot. And outside you hear, "Omar coming." Like, it's a good episode, but you can't watch it because you're stuck in the chimney. You know, Santa's got to have a code. So,
I have a feeling I get a lot more out of this with the visuals.
Here's the thing. As toys, the man in red is not moving in. He's waiting. But given that he's mostly focused on suspending himself, you can try and slip away.
You said sooty. Am I getting soot on me?
Because
I'm out of there. I'm wriggling free. I can't get dirty.
Yeah, actually, man, I think this is a pretty key moment for you. How do you get out of this before you get soot on you?
I'll tell you, I'll be going full taffy mode to specifically worm my way out of his fist, if that's acceptable.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then I'll also throw in Nerf to bounce harmlessly to the floor.
I mean, admittedly, I'm just going to give you two. I think there is still a risk to this, because if you miss, you end up in the fire. You're just Rizzo dancing on that cool chicken that he wants to eat. Everything's a Muppet reference for me if you dig deep enough. Yeah, you're going to have to add a risk to this, because, again, I think your skills are actually very good for avoiding this. Just there's nowhere safe to land.
Okay. I'm going to add one. So I'm adding three risk dice.
No. Just one risk dice, and then the rest are white because they're based on your features.
My features use risk dice. Features are rituals in this.
So
my two features of Worm and Nerf are two risk dice, and you've thrown a third one in. And I would like to add a light die for twisty bending.
Yes, sure. Okay, great. So holy shit.
I've got a pool of four.
Does anyone want to give this guy a fucking devil's bargain to help him?
That's another light die for me.
Sure. If you wriggle out as quickly as you can, you have a moment before Santa like locks into his position, but you will knock Morky's box and Barbie out of control into a fall.
So it helps me to get away, but there is a risk or a guarantee that I will knock guarantee that I will knock you guys to the floor.
Yeah,
now, we fall with you. There is a box involved. They're not just falling purely into the fire, but also here's the question. The child only has room in their dark heart for one. Do you actually care about these other two people?
Ultimately, no.
Take the devil's bargain then, man. I'm not even going to let you choose. I think that's a definite go. Good work, Ryan.
Okay.
Also, fear Ryan's campaign. You thought my 40K story was dark? Balls.
I rolled a six, so it is a success, but it is also on a ritual or a ruin die. So my ruin goes up by one.
Actually, Tyler, I'm going to say it doesn't. Because normally you would roll, I mean, in theory, yes, by the rules, yes, but you can reduce your ruin by acting in the interest of the child and the Christmas spirit. And I would argue what you just did incredibly selfishly just to make sure you have the best possible day does that.
Okay.
So
does that put me in a position, because I'm at four, so that taking the point would put me at five.
And I'm actually going to say you can just stay at four.
Okay, so I can't continue to do selfish things to reduce my ruin further yet, because I haven't officially hit five.
I mean, you seem pretty excited about it, so if you want it, I can just let you have it.
He wants it. Yeah.
He does.
So he'll go to five and go back to four.
You're at five, baby. Yes, you dropped to four, but now you can just do selfish things the rest of the way down.
Cool.
Christmas Eve. A time to pick fights with family members that will carry over into the next day.
Oh, Tom.
Yes, sir.
If he did that, he has to roll to see if we know he knew he threw us down the well.
That is true.
That's true. So, what does that roll look like?
1d6, bud.
Just a d6?
And I think if it's... Ryan, you, I think, have... I only have the picking rules.
If you roll higher than or equal to your current ruin... someone will notice the attempted betrayal. So if you roll a five or a six, we know that you did it. You still get to lower your ruin, but we know you've made this.
So Tyler, it's also worth pointing out you have a hold from Lincoln Log Lincoln. That means you can auto win one roll.
Nah, let's gamble this.
My man.
It's a three, so I rolled under my threshold.
So we don't know that you'd sacrifice to betray
us.
The
man in red has slippy ass hands. And Claire, what would you say as 2020 Barbie and Morky and Gorfy fall into the flames? This kind of tracks for you. What would you say to confirm? I mean, like, we the players know that this was Tyler's doing, but like, I think the characters would assume that this is just the man in red. Based on what you know of him, is this just something they would do? What would you say as you all fall? Is this like, oh, fucking... Basically, I guess I'm asking, is this like a fucking of course? Or
I think you just said, oh, typical!
Which only Laura can hear, correct?
Yep.
Yep.
Cool.
Okay. We'll deal with you guys in a sec. Tyler.
I just have to say, I'm like, yeah, this is so fucking 2020.
Very good. Very true.
This is the gold down. You just hear, try living with this for a millennia.
So Tyler, you Alex Mack your way out of the hands and just spurt into the room. You hit the ground and just become a puddle and then reform into Taft. Again, such an insanely delightful person to reform as. I gotta tell you, if at the end of my life I could look like Taft looks in those cartoons, I will have won. That's all I want. I fucking love Wings.
Cartoon.
I think he did too. I just want to get there. So you reform as Taft in a weird like apocalypse, being like, ah, look on my works. I have reformed. But you do reform outside of the fire, outside of the soot. And you do that classic VR hand thing where you like look at your hands and there's no soot.
Mm-hmm.
And you let out just a full taffy lungs worth of breath because you are not, in fact, dirty. And that's where your story ends for now, because we got to deal with all the people falling into the fire. So, Morky, what do you do?
I feel like it's just normally like, ha-ha! Only in this case, it's ha-ha! Down he goes. He's in the box, so I think it's just going to be like, you know how toys have those little like twist ties that are kind of there? I think he's just going to try to use all of his cuddle skills to just like cuddle and snuggle as intensely as he can.
You're making a hug. You got to hug your arms out.
No, I think he's literally reaching into those ties that tie them in place to like hug that stuff. And then he also gets to bounce. So he'll try to just be ready to bounce it when he hits the bottom. And I think he'd yell that to his crew, like, get ready to bounce, boys.
Okay, so Ryan, I think what this actually looks like is you doing that and using those ties to pull yourself over. Explain how you bounce off of Gorfy to safety.
Oh, Gorfy? Yeah. He would bounce off of Gorfy.
Because this is your expendable.
Yeah, I feel like he's holding on and he's falling. And it's like that weird shot they always do in movies where it's just like it's shot from below. And it's like, oh, and the mouth is just like flapping. Only his mouth is just kind of painted on, so it becomes an O, but warbles as though it was animated. And then he's falling, and he realizes the fall is going to be bad, so he just reaches over and grabs Gorfy by the neck and says, sick him, boy! And just slides him over in front of himself, and then just goes back to riding again, but just with a Gorfy between him and the ground.
So, Ryan, what I need you to explain is the first Darzny movie where Morky met Gorfy. Because this is what you think of as you push him in front of you and then spring, like pull your legs in and spring off of his back to safety.
Yeah. So the movie is in the style of the original black and white Disney movies, only it was made by like a foreign animation company and the comedy didn't quite sit the way it was supposed to. So if you watch that movie, it's like Morky was at home and he was just picking up chickens, breaking their necks and throwing them into the oven. Just a bunch of it in the row. Like in that way that like you see some foreign cartoons are really murdery and you don't know why. So it's just like celebratory, but the audio is a little too real. And then Gorfy comes in and just squats down and just poops. And it's just like, what? And then it's him chasing Gorfy around the room. And every time Gorfy squats down and poops, Morky would raise his hands and get really mad, and then another chicken would escape out the door until there were no chickens, and then he threw Gorfy in the oven, and then it's just him eating a nice meal, and the camera pulled back, and Gorfy was also eating a chicken, and then they like looked at each other and winked. So like that's the classic movie. There's a part of him that hates Gorfy for being stupid and pooping away all his chickens, but there is a part of him that remembers sharing that meal, so he does feel a little bad. But then he remembers how poorly that movie sold, and he hates him again.
So I like to imagine all of this is happening to the Platoon theme. Like, it's like, no, 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 no. And you're just like, no, 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 as you boot him down.
And I
also, this is saying playing music. Shut the fuck up, Zoom. We don't have the rights.
Can I add that Gorfy makes that falling sound that Goofy makes? As he falls.
Yeah, but then right before he hits the ground, he goes, oh, yuck! and he's done.
Claire, can you give us the internal monologue of Gorfie as he falls into the flames? What is Gorfie thinking about as he plummets?
Hey, friends, it's Ryan, but like regular Ryan, as himself, talking about Dumb Dumbs and Dice. Yes, I'm one of the people behind this show. Obviously, you're listening to the show. You're loving this show. Somebody's doing great. Probably not me, but like Tom, he does really good work. Tyler does really good work. Third person also does really good work. I don't know what show this is on. But the important thing is that you can support the show and join the show at
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
That's right, that address that I totally just said. Go there, join Dum Dums and Dice, support the show. It's going to be great.
Jesus.
Gorfie's just thinking about what was Minnie's name?
Minky.
Gorfie was just, you know what? Gorfie's in this kind of state of like fire-induced euphoria, where all I just like have been like Minky's like combats, and like all of the times that she's like ripped the heads off of various other toys.
Claire, can I ask, based on your headcanon, were Gorfie and Minky having an affair?
You know what? I wasn't going there, but yes.
Tyler, what was Minky's side of this? What was her favorite memory before she got murdered of dating sweet Gorfie under the watchful eye of Morky?
I think they both had, both Minky and Gorfie actually had extremely sophisticated, passionate, wonderful things that they thought about each other.
Yeah.
And every time they tried to manifest it, it came out as Minky. and they never knew what the other one was talking about. And so both of them felt like it was an unrequited love, which is why they never acted on it.
But they both knew in their hearts that the love was there.
They knew that there was, they couldn't ignore the connection.
No.
But they also couldn't act on it because they were trapped in these knockoffs. I gotta
tell you, this is like a Shel Silverstein poem.
Yeah, I'm a little furious that I'm tearing up about Minky and Gorfie's beautiful, unrequited love.
Let me tell you how it ends. So they hit the fire as the box burns away, and Morky and Go-Go Hedgehog both use Gorfie as a springboard off. And then Morky gets up and he's like, ah, well, luckily he didn't have a rich internal life. And then they can continue on their journey.
And as Gorfie burns to a slick plastic oil made of dead dinosaurs, his melted plastic corpse becomes a heart. Like that shitty tin soldier story that's real upsetting. But more importantly, Gorfie and Minky are finally free from the tyranny of Morky. Morky Mouse and Walt Darsney. And yes, as you melt, a single thumbs up comes up as the Terminator theme plays and then fades away.
That dog was Morky, a good boy.
Good news. Your springboard worked. You're fine. Ah! None of us have heard this. You're good. You find yourself with Go-Go Hedgehog standing in the, I think we could assume Tiptoe, Cinnamon Firehawk, we never talked about, are dead. They're just gone. Santa just dropped them. Morky, you turn and see Tafty reforming next to you, like T-1000, but made of taffy. And the two of you have that moment where, like, two characters who have been on side, but you're near the end of a race, suddenly go, uh-oh. Am I referencing the end of Rat Race? Yes. Do I love Rat Race the most? also yes. But before we get to what happens after that electric eye contact of like, well, fuck, I guess we gotta kill each other now. Laura, you also fell into the fire. What happens to you and Mrs. Claus as you fall?
This is like, well, I basically kick the porcupine and try to boot it away from me.
Why?
Because I don't want to fall onto a porcupine and get impaled.
Solid choice.
Thinking about the long game there. Yeah.
But okay. Most importantly, what I want to do is...
Well, I was going to say, I think you just told me what you want to do. Claire, do you have dice, my friend? I'm so sorry. I didn't ask you to have dice. All right. Do you have D6s?
Damn. Yep. Look at that.
Well, welcome to the party, pal. You're a character now. Sick. I need you to roll me one light dice and probably two ruin dice. We're going to start you at 5 ruin because, like, you've seen some shit.
Okay.
Yeah, roll 2d6 for me if you wouldn't mind.
So just one light and one ruin?
Yes. Okay. Unless anyone wants to give Mrs. Claus a devil's bargain, because I got to tell you, the reason I'm calling for this roll is if I was Mrs. Claus, I think at this point I would realize that maybe, and I know this is astounding, Barbie might not be the smartest character for me to like really hitch my wagon to.
Okay. So, I got one.
I mean,
Mrs. Claus can gain further traction to escape Barbie to get out of the fire. But by doing so, Mrs. Claus will kick the porcupine back into Barbie. And the other toys will see it happen.
Okay. All right. I guess what I'm trying to get at though, Ryan, and I think what you're pitching works. I actually am pitching that Mrs. Claus might become the new Barbie character. Mm. I'm basically saying Claire might kill Laura and become the PC for the rest of this. So I like that, but could it instead be becoming the porcupine?
Sure. Yeah, I'm down.
So basically, she tosses herself out of Jesse into, or Messy, legal, into the porcupine. At the cost of Barbie.
Chucking Barbie in a fire.
Yeah.
So then I would have to get the porcupine into the house.
No, what I'm saying instead is you would just become the porcupine and then you could just weirdly like hobble your way.
If your die roll goes well, porcupine survives, Barbie dies.
A Jesse successy. Get the fuck out of here, James. That's very good.
Great. Okay. I mean, sure.
Well, I think we can collude on this. So I love the idea, but your devil's bargain was about punishing 2020 Barbie for the benefit of Mrs. Claus. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's the same theme. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm giving this to you, sir. What is the best version of that that you can think of?
Best version of that is Mrs. Claus can soul jump into the porcupine, but to get the force out of the kick, porcupine has to injure Barbie's feet so Barbie can't get out of the fire. Like, it's doing Barbie to horrible death.
So it's like, Barbie's like, fuck this, I hate this. Mrs. Claus is like, actually, I hate all this, I'm out. Great, love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can Mrs. Claus still crawl to the house of the woman that she secretly wants to go to?
Yeah, you will just have to roll to convince the old dying woman that you are, in fact, her messy doll.
Great. Oof. Okay. Done. All right. So I roll two ruin dice and I roll two light dice and one ruin dice.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know who's going to play that old woman?
What did you roll?
I rolled my highest was the 6 on the ruin dice, baby.
That means you take.
That is a Jesse successy.
That's a 6.
Jesse successy.
That's 6 ruin points. You got to play for like 12 seconds, and now Tom takes your character.
Yep.
Well, how many ruin did you have to begin with? Five?
Five.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
Wait. You're ruin after six, right? You have to get more than six?
No, you have, if you hit
really?
Six.
So. Oh.
That's why at then five, you can start cheating six, to go your back.
Character is lost.
Right.
Okay. Claire, I will offer you a devil's bargain on this ruin roll.
Okay.
What could Mrs. Claus give up to get to go try and die as a porcupine with this old lady? And I mean, here's the thing. We actually talked about this before the show. I think it's the revenge piece. Are you willing to let the man in red go to fulfill your life's purpose?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to take your character offline for a bit. We'll get back to it. Laura, you boot the porcupine. What do you feel as you kick the porcupine out? I imagine a Barbie kicking a porcupine in slow motion in a Pixar movie is very funny. What are you feeling about it? Just being like, haha, or like, meh, fuck this porcupine.
It's like, if I'd had a fucking dog like I was supposed to, I would fall on the dog and it would break my fall. I hate this, you stupid porcupine. And she
spoken
just,
like someone who's never had a dog. No dog would ever break a fall. I know. I'm just
Barbie. I love dogs.
I know. We're all on side. Okay, so you boot the porcupine and you're doing it as like a fuck this.
Yeah. I've just had enough.
You feel a whoosh behind you as you do it. And suddenly the bag on your back just feels like a bag of rags. And you realize as the porcupine flies, you know, Bowser shell style in Mario Kart away from your foot, that with it went Mrs. Claus. And suddenly you realize that you are alone as you fall backward into the fire. As you do, you look to your left. Let's see, Morky Mouse also falling into the fire. Both of you are now plummeting into the flames. What do you do? Both of you.
I thought I was outside with Taffy.
We shared a look.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, Laura, it's just you then, falling into the flames.
Yeah, what I sacrificed Gorfy. What a beautiful romance.
That's right. I'm sorry. Yes, you sprung off Gorfy. Yes. I'm sorry. I did a different tragic murder thing earlier.
Can I still, like, do, like, an action to try to save myself?
Yeah, tell me what it is.
Well, I still have my hand sanitizer left. So I kind of want to pull it out and just like squirt it all into the flames below me to have like to put them out so I can land on.
You want to put out fire with
Tyler, let it happen. Please let it happen.
Well, it's like fear. It's like a gel shit.
Barbie, what do you say as you squeeze the hand sanitizer down into the flames?
Tyler, shut up. This is majestic.
It was just like, fuck, this whole Christmas sucks. I hate this year. I fucking hate this kid. I don't even want to be the fucking best toy anymore. Fuck this.
And then you squeeze. And there's nothing more undignified, as someone who puts ketchup on everything, than a bottle that is kind of like mostly dead. So just like happens. Yeah. And the fire explodes. And Laura, as you are blown apart, the shred of your face that sees the man in red just sees his eyes go wide. And there was a look of horror, a deep horror that is hard to explain and slightly profound. Just a no. And then his ribs explode outward and Santa Claus is splattered against every inch of this chimney as you and he blast upward. And
a small little thing of sanitizer.
it's a Christmas small, magic, small Laura. World.
If you're going to come for the king, you better not miss Laura.
She didn't. If you imagine what a serene Christmas village looks like, it's a bunch of snow-capped houses with little chimneys and smoke just billowing in a beautiful way up into the sky. Smoke only exists because of fire, a destructive, horrific, primal force. And one chimney, the Griswold chimney, had green and red smoke billowing out of it. No one understood at the time what that meant, but they would soon. But for one specific dead toy, it meant, I wish I had that mask. And if there's one thing we can say for 2020, is that even its Barbie got fucked.
Our Pick Me Trophy Dark Incursion adventure features our GM, Tom McGee, players Ryan LaPlante, Tyler Hewitt, and Laura Elizabeth, and our very special guests, Guy Bradford and Claire Blackwood. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker, that's MRKR on Twitter. This show's theme music is Gothic Trip with Thunder Horse by Damiano Baldoni, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Cheeks by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com, our Twitter and Instagram at dumdumdice, or on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you could join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks for listening. Smash that subscribe button and show your love to One Shots. DJ One Shots out of here.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.